Well, as you'll be aware by now, we're working our way through Hebrews 11. And one of the really important things to note or understand when we're reading a text from the Bible is just what kind of literature am I reading? What is it that is in front of me? Because when we understand what kind of literature it is, it understands how we understand what it's trying to say. For example, I would read a love letter from my wife differently to how I would read the morning news, differently to how I would read a sports report, differently to how I would read a dictionary. You with me? They're different kinds of writing that you read and understand in different ways. So the kind of writing impacts how we understand what it's saying, what it means, how we understand what is going on inside the text. And there are different thoughts as to the genre of Hebrews, or the kind of writing it is, but many would suggest that actually the book of Hebrews is in the format of a sermon. It seems to be writing that takes the form of a sermon. And it got me thinking that when I was in Bible college and I did a subject on preaching, they taught us that every good sermon has three clear elements. Not necessarily three clear points, but three clear elements. The first is the focus. What is the focus of the sermon? What is this sermon all about? The second is the form, or a structure that it helps to make the point of what you're trying to say. So focus, what it's all about, the form, the structure of the message, and then finally, the function. What do you hope that the sermon will actually do in the hearers of your message? Are you with me so far? What's the focus, what's the form, and what's the function? And so if we're to understand Hebrews as a sermon from thousands of years ago, we could ask the same question. What's the focus of the book of Hebrews? Well, it's very clear. It's the superiority of Jesus, the elevation of Jesus as the fulfillment of all the Old Testament hope and the one in whom we are called to give our complete worship and allegiance to. That's the focus. That's what it's about. The form, there's a very clear structure to Hebrews. It talks about Jesus is better than something and then gives a warning or encouragement. And then it goes in the same reason, then Jesus is better than something and then another warning and encouragement. So for example, we've looked at the fact that Jesus is better than the angels and Moses and the priests and the old covenant. And all the way along, there's these encouragements to faithfulness, warnings to faithfulness to Jesus. There's this rhythmic feel to it. And then all of that builds to something of a high point and a shifting point at chapter 11 where we get to today. We'll get there in a sec. The function, what is it that the author of Hebrews hopes to happen within the people who hear or read this text? That is very clearly to inspire the people to deepen their faithfulness to Jesus despite their circumstances. And that is no more on display than in chapter 11, where we hear time and time and time and time again of the faithfulness of the people of Israel. Now, if you feel like this service has dragged on a little bit and you've sort of gone, yeah, right, Riley, we get it with the interviews thing, let's speed this thing up, right? That's what happens when you read chapter 11. It goes on and on and on and on, example after example after example after example of the faithfulness of the people of God. And so there's something about the book of Hebrews that this long run-up to this almighty sermon illustration moment in chapter 11 where the author goes, see, look at all these people who came before you. That's what you're being called into as well. And so in chapter 11, the author talks directly to his audience and says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And then all of the examples play out. And then at the beginning of chapter 12, we have this almighty and emphatic therefore. In other words, in light of everything that's come about Jesus in the book of Hebrews to this point, everything that you've just read in chapter 11 about these heroes of faithfulness, therefore, he says in chapter 12, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. In other words, this is the life you are called into. In light of all this, let us too follow Jesus in this way. There is something about the stories of the past that inform our present and lead us into a life of faithfulness in the future. We, as followers of Jesus 2,000 years later, are as much a part of the Old Testament stories that we have read in Hebrews 11 today. And we are to be encouraged by these stories and inspired by these stories, and they're to inform our present and give us hope into the future and all these kinds of things. However, as I was thinking through this week, Hebrews 11 and what the author is trying to do in the audience to inspire faithfulness by giving all these examples, I began to wonder, what would that look like for us in our very specific location and history, short 50-odd year of Victor Harbor Baptist Church history? What would be our Hebrews 11 if we were to write our own story to inspire one another on to faithfulness to Jesus, to fix our eyes on Jesus? And so I started flicking a few text messages out this week, and I started making a few phone calls, and I said to some people who had been around this church for a while, hey, if we were to write Hebrews 11 of Victor Harbor Baptist Church, who would be in your hall of faithfulness? And I tell you what, man, it's been a really encouraging week hearing story after story of people from the life of this church who have been faithful despite the circumstances. And so I wondered, as I was hearing these stories, not that we're replacing the scripture, but if we were to just imagine our own sort of idea of hall of faithfulness in our church, I wonder whether our Hebrews 11 might sound something like this with the intro. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Now, all the people I'm about to mention, I hope you don't get offended by being referred to as the ancients, but work with me on this. But would our Hebrews 11 sound something like this? By faith, Connie Tuck had the vision to start a Baptist church in Victor Harbor. As she played the piano, thumping very heavily on the keys, and drove a quaint little car that often took in both pavements as she turned around. By faith, Connie contributed considerably to the purchase of the three adjoining blocks of land in Sutherland Avenue for the church to be established for the then very small congregation of only 11 people. By faith, Miss Joan Lyons, Connie's faithful partner in ministry from the beginning and one of the original 11, was always present and always available to serve in a range of roles, including deacon, deaconess, secretary, Sunday school teacher, and member of the building committee. By faith, John and Athalie Hutchison joined the church in 1971 and have served and still serve for more than 52 years, with John serving as a deacon, elder, service leader, preacher in both our services and across the Flurio, with Athalie joining the team of pianists just 1 month after joining the church. Again, sorry for the reference to the ancients. By faith, the Victor Harbor Baptist Church leadership in the early days had a high level of commitment to missionary support, both financially and prayerfully, a legacy that we seek to continue to carry on today. By faith, 10 years after the VHBC was recognized by the Baptist Churches of South Australia as a member church, Reverend Keith Everett became the first ordained minister of our church, 10 years into its history. By faith, pastors such as Milton Paul, Ian Dunn, and Tony Ling, along with a whole bunch of others, have tirelessly and lovingly served our community. By faith, Eric Egar, John Stewart, Brian Harvey, and Milton Paul saw the need for a bigger worship space and initiated the building of the current Haber Chapel, with Brian Harvey working pretty much full-time for 18 months on its construction, along with John Stewart. By faith, Victor Harbor Baptist Church, about 15 years ago, created a position for youth and young adults so that we could minister to the young people of the South Coast. And by faith, those ministries have grown, and we continue to grow that involvement and ministry engagement now and into the future. By faith, Graham Paddouse has been leading us over many recent years as we're a part of an ongoing and unfolding of God's story, continuing to lead us in the need for another building. In the midst of a global pandemic, Hence the need for faith. As the congregation continues to grow, the needs are there and the opportunities for ministry and mission here on the South Coast increase. By faith, Bill Kingston's weakness was turned to strength as despite his failing health, he continued to set up for care and share, faithfully witnessing to fellow residents and staff at Sandpiper, where he spent his last years. By faith, David Brook was obedient to God's call in his life for many years as a foreigner in Japan to share the gospel with the Japanese people, immersing himself in the culture and language. By faith, Ross Bartel answered God's call to be a missionary in Papua New Guinea, even in his later years, not allowing his physical limitations to stop him from faithfully conducting Bible studies and encouraging others. By faith, Val Dunstan turned her back on a professional career in nursing in Australia to answer God's call to a primitive situation in Nepal as a single woman, to show God's love to the Nepalese, and in her later years building a house with provision for missionaries and people in ministry to have some rest and respite by the sea. By faith, Alan Tonkin witnessed to and evangelized to every single possible person in sight. Having a real heart of compassion for the lost and spent much of his life knocking on doors, giving out tracts wherever he went, undeterred by anything. By faith, Garnet Hutchinson diligently used his God-given gifts to preach, teach, mentor, and show hospitality. And what more shall I say? I don't even have time to tell about Helen Jarrett and Trish Connell, who through faith prayed unceasingly for our church, or Annette Wicks, who through faith served our children's ministry as teacher and secretary, or by faith Heather Hoare, who gave so many years to the office administration role unpaid, just volunteered, or through faith the nearly 40 people, young and old, who have been baptized in our church over the last 10 years. And I could go on. And I could go on, and I could go on. And I'm sure I've missed people out, and I apologize if I have. It's not the intention. But you see the point, right? You probably have all your own heroes of faithfulness that come to mind, either in the context of this community or your own life. So, Victor Harbor Baptist Church, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. I don't know about you, but when I reflect on these stories of people who have lived their lives of faithfulness to Jesus, it inspires me. I'm encouraged and my faith is lifted. But as we do this, let us not lose sight of one important thing. While our heroes of faithfulness are inspiring for us, let us notice where Hebrews calls us to fix our eyes. It's actually not on them. The call is not to idolize our heroes from the past, but to look to the face of the faith of those who have come before us and some who are still with us as well, and to be inspired to fix our eyes where? Jesus. Let us run with perseverance, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Why? Because He is the true faithful one. The next verses of Hebrews 12, apologies, I don't have it on the screen, but just say this of Jesus. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. It is so easy to look to the past with rose-colored glasses and say, wow, they were the good old days. They were the really faithful ones. They were the ones who really got it right. And there's so much to be inspired by and learn from. But even for the most faithful followers of Jesus, even for the people we've talked about in Scripture today, history is complicated. It just is. We don't always get it right, but not so with Jesus. He is the true faithful one. Despite opposition from sinners, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Can I encourage us this morning, fix your eyes on Him. May we be inspired, may we be encouraged, and may we not grow weary and lose heart, but may we run with perseverance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, to the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Let me pray. Worship team can come up and we'll sing to close. Father, thank you for your story. Thank you for the story of Israel and those that you called who were faithful to you despite precarious and difficult and complicated and hard circumstances. Thank you that you work out your purposes through fallible human beings, even though we get it wrong so often. We see that in Scripture. We know that's true in our own lives and the history of our church and all these things. And in the midst of that, we thank you for Jesus, whose history isn't complicated. He was only faithful to you, unwavering in his obedience to you, going to the cross despite the pain, the agony, what that would mean for him for the sake of us. We thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness to the Father, for your gift of grace to us. May we be inspired by the words of Scripture, the story of our church, and who you are, Lord Jesus, to keep our eyes fixed on you, running the race undeterred, that you might be glorified through us as individuals, as families, as households, and as a community here in Victor Harbor Baptist Church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.